on the line now to talk about it with Aaron Schatz, head of Football Outsiders and ESPN NFL analyst. Don't forget, you can also get your Football Outsiders Almanac for 2018, the essential guide to the 2018 NFL and college football seasons. Aaron, are you ready to get this started or what? I know it's your job all year round, but it's like got to be Christmas morning for you now that we're heading into week one.
Well, Christmas morning is when you get to open your gifts. Today's more like a hard work day because of cutdowns. You're having to update our fantasy projections for all the cutdowns and update our team projections for the Khalil Mack trade. And there's a lot going on today. So Christmas morning is more what Thursday is
right.
Like. That's what I'm looking forward to, some actual games.
So this is like the last minute shopping. You're going to the mall on the 23rd or 24th. You're dealing with all the shoppers. That's what's going on today. I get it. So yeah, you mentioned Khalil Mack and the trades of the Bears today. Chicago, not necessarily a team. I think a lot of people expected Khalil Mack to go to if he, in fact, was traded. What do you think this means for the Bears, who obviously have a young quarterback, a young team? It's a tough division with the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings, of course, who won the division last year. What do you think this does for them immediately in 2018?
Well, it helps. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think it helps as much as people think. No one defensive player is worth more than maybe one win a year. And even that, you know, he would have to have a really good year. Defense is just harder to predict than offense. So the effect of a trade of a defensive player like this is just harder to predict than the effect of a trade of an offensive player. That being said, I mean, Mack is one of the best pass rushers in the league. I think he was second in our count of hurries last year in the whole league behind DeMarcus Lawrence of Dallas. If ever there's a player that's worth two first-round picks and a big contract, Khalil Mack would be it. You know, there's only a handful of non-quarterbacks who are worth that kind of pay, and he's one of them. So I like the trade from Chicago's perspective. I don't think it suddenly vaults them. They were sort of a team where they were hoping to put it all together, and you could tell the story of how they were going to put it all together, but you didn't know if that story was going to come true. Now there's a little bit more likelihood that the story comes true, but that's still a really hard division.
So you mentioned the first-round picks that potentially could be going back the other way to the Oakland Raiders. And I'm curious from your perspective, I know just from reading and hearing some people talk about, you know, the way draft picks are weighted and specifically first-round picks in the NFL, and maybe they don't have as much value like they do in some other sports. Two first-round picks still seems like a pretty decent haul for the Oakland Raiders. But what could that potentially mean as far as value and what Oakland is getting here? Obviously, you can't replicate it because Khalil Mack, like you mentioned, one of the top players in the league. But how do first-round picks kind of stand right now these days in the NFL?
Right. Your goal with a first-round pick is to find a player as good as Khalil Mack. Like, that's the dream, is that you can use a first-round pick and find that player. Obviously, first-round picks are going to cost a lot less than what Khalil Mack is going to cost now. But Chicago can afford that because they still have Trubisky on a rookie contract.
Right.
Like, yeah, Oakland now has a lot more salary cap room, but what are they going to use that on? Unless they're going to go out and do gangbusters in free agency before 2019, like, what does all that extra cap room get them? Certainly nothing in the immediate sense.
Aaron Schatz, head of Football Outsiders and ESPN NFL analyst, joining us here on Sportsnet today. I'm Rob Wong here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. One team I know that a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on this season, Aaron, is the Cleveland Browns. A lot of that has to do with people enjoying the Hard Knocks series going on right now, getting an inside look at this franchise and what's going on behind the scenes. And I think we're all expecting them to win more than zero games in 2018. I've seen some people, you know, say that they think Cleveland might make the playoffs. That would be quite the jump. They have some talented players there, of course, with Myles Garrett and some of these players on offense. But how realistic do you think that is this year for Cleveland to be in that playoff mix?
Oh, I don't know, maybe a 20-30% chance. I think it's much more likely that they're floating around 6-10, 7-9, that they're a frisky team that scores a couple of upsets that looks good going into 2019, but that doesn't make it all the way into playoff contention. And look, the subjective problem here is the coaching, right? Like,
right,
we can do stat projection, and stat projection wise, everything suggests that this team will not only be better next year, but significantly better. The problem is, what are the coaches doing about it? I mean, they ran some defensive schemes last year that just made no sense whatsoever. They ran all this base defense, even when other teams were running with 3 and 4 wide receivers. It just got killed. And they were great against the run, but this is not a running league. It's a passing league. So my worry with Cleveland is that they fall short of the statistical projection because of the intangibles of the coaching that they're getting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of impact Hugh Jackson has on this team and how much that will play into their record this year. You know, looking at the playoff odds that you guys have on Football Outsiders right now, and you guys have Pittsburgh right at the top at 13.8% to win the Super Bowl. You've got New England right behind them also in the 13% range. Then it's quite a drop off to New Orleans at number 3. What is it about Pittsburgh that you guys like so much this year in the numbers that you've put together?
The offense. Offense is more predictable than defense, and Pittsburgh is our number one projected offense because, you know, they've got the best wide receiver in the game. They might have the best running back in the game. They've got a very good quarterback. They have an excellent offensive line with a ton of consistency and continuity among the offensive linemen. So we have that as the highest projected offense in the game. And we have New England as the number 2 projected offense. So that's why we have those two teams so far ahead. The other thing is 7 of our top 9 teams are NFC teams. There's just much more competition in the NFC. So the Super Bowl odds for those NFC teams are going to be much lower simply because there's much more competition to get to that final game.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting when you look at the NFC and the way their teams are stacked up right now. You have New Orleans at number 3, like I mentioned, the Rams right behind them at 4, and then the defending Super Bowl champions Eagles at number 5. One team I'm curious to get your thoughts on from a fantasy football perspective, and how can we not talk about fantasy when we're talking about the NFL, but the Atlanta Falcons last year, and you know, people talked a lot about how poor their offense was under Steve Sarkisian after Kyle Shanahan left, and I know a lot of people have talked this year heading into the season about Matt Ryan as a bounce back candidate, that maybe there is some positive regression here for him. You know, some of the issues that they had in the red zone with drops and that, and you know, things of that nature. But what do you make of the Falcons offense heading in to 2018? How high are you on Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman, and the rest of the crew?
Yeah, I think it's likely to bounce back. One reason is that red zone performance just varies from year to year more than performance on the rest of the field. The other is that if you look at the efficiency of the Atlanta offense, it was pretty efficient. Part of the problem was they ran fewer drives than most teams, and they started further back than most teams, so they had more yards to make up. So if they pick up the pace a little bit and they get the ball back in better position a little bit, the offense should score more points. My biggest problem with Atlanta is the defense, which has just got so much talent, but they just can't seem to put it together. They've been a below-average defense for a couple of years now, despite all the individual talent that they have on that defense.
So we go back to last year, Aaron, and we, you know, saw that a lot of people had Tennessee, Tampa Bay as, you know, two kind of sexy picks and some dark horses that could make some noise last year. And of course, Tennessee does make it in, whereas things went sideways for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we already touched on Cleveland as a team that some people have as a potential sleeper here. Give me one or two teams that you're higher on than the rest of the field heading into this year.
We're definitely higher than everyone else on Indianapolis. And a big reason for that is Andrew Luck. But another reason is last year, Indianapolis had an above average defense on first and second down. On third down, they were the worst defense we have measured since 1990. There's no way that that continues. And better defense on third down means getting the ball back more often, means more offense. When you combine that with Luck coming back and an easy schedule, we think Indianapolis is going to be a wild card contender.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens there with Andrew Luck back in the fold. Can't wait. Aaron, season gets started next week. Like you mentioned, still some work to do with cut down day, but we appreciate you taking some time out today and joining us. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely. And if people want to read more of my predictions and all of our staff projections, Football Outsiders Almanac 2018, available now online at footballoutsiders.com and at Amazon too.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks for having me on.